Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Fox News dodged a defamation trial today and agreed to pay Dominion Voting Systems $787 million for lying about its voting machines, claiming they helped rig the 2020 election. Dominion CEO John Polis.
Truthful reporting in the media is essential to our democracy. Dominion, our employees, our people, our partners are grateful to the court for allowing us the process for the truth to come out.
CBS's Scott McFarland has more reaction from both sides.
The Dominion lawyers say truth matters, truth does not know red and blue, and that lies have consequences. Fox saying, after the case settled, settlement reflects Fox News's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards.
A scary garage collapse has killed at least one person in New York City.
The call came in just after 4 p.m.
37 Ann Street between William and Nassau for a parking garage collapse.
The collapsing of a parking garage near Wall Street in Lower Manhattan. At least one person's been killed, five others hurt. Bystander video showed cars hanging from a buckled upper deck of a three-story building. FDNY officials say the building was so badly damaged that firefighters had to escape mid-search.
At CBS's Matt Piper reporting. Also in New York today, police arrested a group that targeted gay men at nightclubs by drugging and robbing them. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg.
Nobody should have to worry about their safety and well-being when enjoying Manhattan's vibrant nightlife. And this investigation sends a clear message that we have no tolerance for this type of dangerous and deadly conduct.
At least two of their victims died. Southwest National ground stop today has delayed thousands of flights for folks across the country.
This is the second time we've had to go through this in like, what, 5 months? It's super frustrating.
The airline has been having tech issues. Protesters hit the streets of Kansas City today demanding justice for 16-year-old Ralph Yarl. He's at home recovering now after getting shot in the head by a homeowner for ringing the wrong doorbell. Yarl's mom, Cleo Nagby.
Mostly he just sits there and stares and the buckets of tears just rolls down his eyes. You can see that he's just replaying the situation over and over again, and that just doesn't stop my tears either.
The shooter's facing assault charges. Oklahoma's governor wants four McCurtain County officials to resign after they were caught making racist comments about black people and killing journalists. This woman lives there.
We want their resignation. They need to fire everybody in that courthouse and just start over.
This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/...
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A former school board member of the Heartland Lakeside School District who resigned earlier this month is facing three misdemeanor counts of election fraud for allegedly using his father's address on campaign documents during last year's spring election. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting John Harder facing a fine up to $1,000 or prison time up to 6 months. Harder was elected to a three-year term on the board in 2022, but resigned earlier this month without stating a reason. He's due back in court April 27th. Parts of Wisconsin got hit with more than a foot of snow Sunday night into Monday. The town of Northfield in Jackson County reported 22 inches. Black River Falls with 19.5. The city of Phillips in Price County got 15 inches of new snow, and a foot fell on the Iron County town of Saxon. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best. And with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth Buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up! They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by MN50, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, MN350 sure is. And we have, you know, Zoe, I am so happy for the guests that we have today and so excited to talk to them. It's the people from the University of Minnesota, and they did this great study in under the Truth Project. And I want to go right away, because there's three of you guys, I want to go right away to Misty and talk about the project, and we're going to get rocking and rolling right away. Being a former University of Minnesota student myself, I'm really excited to hear what the Truth Project is and what it's done, and I'm so grateful to have you all on.
Hello, Wuju. My name is Misty Blue. I'm a member of the White Earth Nation and have descendancy and family out at Lower Sioux Indian community as well. I was actually a project coordinator for the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. So this was actually a project in partnership with Minnesota Indian Affairs Council and the University of Minnesota. And we took a look at tribal university relations, considering that the University of Minnesota is a land grab university. We wanted to better understand the past, present, and future of tribal university relations.
Well, welcome. And I wouldn't mind introducing everybody else here and what they had to do with that. And I appreciate you correcting me about Mayak and your big role in that, Misty. Really appreciate that. Okay.
Well, I guess I'll go. I can introduce myself, Robert.
Oh, right on, right on. Great to see you. And I just have to give a quick shout out. When I saw you and I believe Anne at an event, that just blew my mind. And I said, I got to get you on the radio show. And I'm so glad this has happened right now. Please introduce yourself. And I'm really excited to hear.
Well, Chimigwich Robert, for having us. Well, Buju, Anishinaabe Duke, Audriana Goodwin, Indigenous Cause, Washkubin, Asikwe, Nindigo, Mayangan, Nindudem, Misquagami, Wizagai, Gunning, Nindun, Jaba. Greetings, relatives. My colonized name is Audriana Goodwin. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation, and I wore a couple different hats for the project. I first began as a research assistant, and then shortly thereafter, I was appointed the Tribal Research Fellow by the Red Lake Nation. And then now, today, I've been very fortunate and honored to have worked very closely with Ann and Misty to get the report published and to get this good work and this truth-telling process out for the world to see. So, Chimigwich, for having us here again today.
I appreciate it. Ann, do you mind introducing yourself?
Bonjour, Ann Gergela, Indigenous, Azabagoni, Zayagan, and Dunjaba. Hello, my name is Ann Gergela. I am a descendant of the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa. My mom is enrolled up at Net Lake. On the Truth Project, I was the University Project Coordinator and a Research Assistant. And currently I work in the Office of Native American Affairs as the Project Manager. So looking forward to seeing through some of these recommendations at the university.
Wow, it's good perfect. To be with you all. Hey, we really appreciate it. You know, Misty, how did you come about picking this team, and how did that come about?
Actually, the team kind of picked me. So the university, this work was sort of started for two reasons. The Minnesota Indian Affairs Council issued a series of resolutions back in June of 2020, basically calling on the university to be better relatives with tribes and tribal members and the Native community overall. Again, given that history as a land grab university, they wanted to just start with that. Secondly, the High Country News published a sort of an expose around land grab universities that same year. And so the start of the project was through the direction of Tad Johnson, and Tad and Ann and others wrote a grant to the Mellon Foundation, and, you know, were awarded, awarded a grant to start this project. Knowing that they wanted to do this, I think, in a way that centered Native voices and was, you know, Native-led, they partnered with MIAC, Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. The Minnesota Indian Affairs Council issued a request for proposals, and I, you know, having a background in public health research and having a background in grassroots organizing, was really interested in doing this work. I thought that this research project was happening, you know, in a good way, where they were having, you know, that partnership inside of the university, but also outside, and was being led by great people like Tad Johnson and Shannon Kijik. So that was sort of where I started, and that's how we all got connected on this.
Wow. I just want to ask, to me, this is kind of like, you know, truth telling can also bring up trauma. And I'm wondering, you know, were you worried about that, Adriana?
So something that I kind of like talk about is, we know the stories, we carry, you know, grief and intergenerational and secondary trauma and all of this sadness from all of these different things that took place. But then when we started to really dig into the research is when we realized just how traumatic and painful at times it was going to be to carry the weight of some of this research. And, you know, there was times throughout the process while Ann and I were sitting at the university archives looking through these documents where we just had to quit, where we seen those connections from those certain eras in history, such as the relocation era, and how those policies have negatively impacted our communities today. And so that was also a really central part of the project, is the past, the present, and the future, and how, you know, we believe that we need to understand that past and that history to inform the present. And so we can, you know, reimagine what we want for the next seven generations to have. And so this truth-telling process was very hard and at times to carry, and to have to be in institutions that tried to eradicate our people, and that took so much from our people. So.
Wow. And what about you? Did you have to smudge off every night after working on this? How did that affect you, and how was that affecting you during this research?
Yeah, that's a good question. So our funding came from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation through the Minnesota Transform Racial Justice Project at the university. And we were really lucky to have them as our funders, because we were able to go back to them time and time again and ask for more resources. So one thing that we asked for was increased funding to cover the costs of both Native counseling, grief counseling services, as well as spiritual advisors who would come in and help us try to process some of these feelings that were coming up. These experiences with secondary trauma aren't, I don't believe, were anything that any of us were expecting, but that we encountered very quickly into the start of the project.
Wow, we're here at Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're talking to the truth tellers here, the project that we heard about, the University of Minnesota and all the land grab. We'll be right back. When we get back, we're going to really dig deep in this. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Zoe, I know that you have some experience in this. Why don't you grab a couple questions here with these true warriors?
Yeah, I'm in Gwich, Robert. So, yeah, I just put it in our, we have a little chat that we share with our guests so they we can you know, talk a little bit. I was just talking about being a Mellon undergraduate at McAllister. And so I was really happy to hear that the Mellon Foundation treated you guys so well, because I think it's so important. And often, you know, we don't always hear about foundations accommodating people as much, but it seems like that's happening more today. But regardless of the point, I just wanted to ask a little more about the timeline of the project. I know you already spoke a little bit about it, Misty, but just about when this project start, how long was the research process, and did you guys start writing the report? I guess would be my first question.
Sure, I can go ahead and give a little high overview. So I was hired in the summer of 2021, so that was sort of the completion of our core research team. Over the fall, Ann, Todd, and I did meet with all 11 tribes in Minnesota. You know, it was still kind of COVID, so we did some virtual, some on the phone, and some in person. We really wanted to meet with the tribes and just raise awareness around this issue of land grab universities and university tribal relations. Again, this is a new conversation. This, you know, that isn't necessarily a relationship that the university has really cultivated in its existence. So we wanted to just start opening up this conversation with people. And the best way to do that, I think, is just go down and visit and see how much people know about this. And then we did have an ask as well. We said we want to go on this, you know, really challenging endeavor, but good endeavor. And we'd like you to send someone to be part of our research team. We want to build a strong Native-led research team. And, you know, thankfully, all tribes were able to have someone participate with us. And so in order to get we call this group the Tribal Research Fellows, in order to get the Tribal Research Fellows ready to go into the archives or do a project of their own choosing that may be different than archival research, we had a training. We hosted that training in January of 2022. And then we paired everyone with mentors from the University of Minnesota faculty. And, you know, we kind of sent people off and to do their research. We were there to support them as well. That happened all through spring semester. You know, at that time, Adriana was named, she can say more about this, she was named a tribal research fellow and a research assistant. And her and Anne, you know, spent some time in the archives, deeply in the archives as well, conducting their own research. There are a couple other arms of this too, but I'll let others speak about that. We culminated the tribal research fellowship with a symposium that was hosted in May of 2022. We invited tribal leaders, you know, many were in attendance, either in person or virtual. And we invited leadership from the University of Minnesota. We had some representation over some of the time. It was a full day symposium. And then that's when, you know, we wanted to open that, make that conversation happen, start and be in a private way. So we, you know, that was an invitation only event. And then for the last, 9 months, almost a year, it was the writing process. It was writing, it was editing, it was making sure that we were being transparent and sharing back what we have in our report back with tribes to get feedback. And that's sort of what led us here today to the launch, to the release of the report.
Yeah, go ahead, Zoe. Well, okay. Well, you're in mute there. Well, I'll jump in here, seeing that this is radio. We have over 200,000 people listening to us all over Turtle Island here. And so I'm a little nervous, but that's a daily thing for me. Adriana, talk about your research. Let's get into the nuts and bolts here, because, you know, I'm reading this and I'm going, all right, first of all, I'm a former University of Minnesota student. And second of all, I'm Native American, which, and Ho-Chunk, when we talk about removal, Ho-Chunks were removed in 1862 here, and we're one of the original treaty signers. But this information that you guys, what was the most surprising thing that you came up with in your research?
So I guess I can start, and there was like Misty had mentioned, there were so many different tentacles in different areas of research that took place that made the broader truth report. And so one area that I was really able to focus on was the Permanent University Fund. So I was a part of a capstone research project at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. And when I was brought onto the project in the summer of 2021, Anne and Tad and others had already been fostering relationships with the University of Minnesota with different organizations under that larger umbrella. And so they had fostered a relationship with the Center for Urban and Regional Affairs. And through that partnership, one of the professors at the Humphrey School had picked up on it and decided to create a capstone research project around a financial accounting or forensic accounting of the Permanent University Fund. And the Permanent University Fund was created at the founding of the university to launder the sale of the lands, the dispossessed lands that were violently taken from Ojibwe and Dakota people to be held in a permanent account in perpetuity by the University of Minnesota. And so from 1880 to 2020, the university had accrued about $180 million on iron ore royalties. And so that price is not including the sale of the iron and all of those other kind of costs associated with the sale of something. That number is not adjusted for inflation. And so that was a pretty astounding finding to be able to kind of see just how much wealth the University of Minnesota has created off of that initial taking of land. And so that $180 million that I'm talking about is coming from about 24,000 acres of land that the university currently still owns today. And so through that, again, we were just able to see just one little snippet into how much wealth has been amassed throughout this time. And then Anne spent a lot of time on that, on the founding board of regents.
Yeah, I was just going to get with that, Anne. That's an amazing, can you tell us who these regents were and are they going to be familiar names to us all? This is, this land grab is an amazing thing that this university, my university, has a history of here.
Yeah, so my research initially began at the Minnesota Historical Society, and what I was trying to figure out was to see if we could find the scrip receipt from the first parcel of land that the university sold to fund their permanent university fund, because I don't know, I just felt like that land should be honored in some way. But when I started to see the names that were signing off on the bonds from the land that the university had acquired through expropriation, it was men like Henry Sibley, Alexander Ramsey, Henry Rice, men who we know were the creators behind a lot of anti-Indian policy back in the mid-1800s. And so that sent me back to the university archives because I really wanted to see what their daily business was like. And so it was astounding to see how much they had saved about their communications back and forth between each other and industry officials in like timber, mining, railroad. And they really maximized their profits by leveraging their conflicts of interest in policy and industry.
Wow, those guys have had a lot of fingers in a lot of things in this state, because I know there's research on the removal of the Ho-Chunk, and boy, they were in the Knights of the Forest, and this is just really crazy, and we've named so many things after them. Hey, we're talking about the Truth Project, and we're truth-telling right here with some great people here, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Fox News has agreed to pay Dominion Voting Systems $787 million after getting sued for spreading lies about its voting machines. Dominion CEO John Polis.
Fox has admitted to telling lies about Dominion that caused enormous damage to my company, our employees, and the customers that we serve. Nothing can ever make up for that.
Panic in New York City as a parking garage collapsed today near Wall Street.
Everyone was scared. Everyone thought that was their last time being alive. I'll be honest with you. It was really, really bad.
One person died. Five others were hurt. Southwest is still dealing with the fallout from a nationwide ground stop. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
A firewall failure that created connectivity issues early this morning that made it challenging to transmit some of the information planes and flight crews need to depart.
4,500 flights have been delayed today, including Southwest flights. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Congressman Tom Tiffany is looking like a potential candidate for U.S. Senate. He bought two website names, ThomasTiffanyForSenate.com and TomTiffanyForSenate.com. Tiffany says he's weighing his options. Tiffany is in his second term in the U.S. House. Baldwin announced a re-election bid last week. So far, there are no declared Republican challengers. The leaders of Wisconsin's two-year branch campuses are being told to look at ways to make them financially stable. UW System President Jay Rothman says everything is on the table. That includes adding bachelor's degrees or continuing education programs. The audits are part of Rothman's wider strategic plan for the system. In sports, the Brewers beat Seattle last night 7-3. Colin Rhea starts for Milwaukee tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Of West Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis. Visit their website at scotchamamas.com.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Wow, we have this exciting show tonight, and we're talking about truth, and we like to talk about truth here on Native Roots Radio and the Truth Telling Project. And it's a little overwhelming to hear, and we're already halfway through, and I don't know. I want to know, Anne, how this still affects us today with all this stuff that we have, all this gunk, all this trauma and things, and the things that you guys revealed in your report. How does that affect us today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think one of the most important things that we've drawn correlations between is existing research on how land dispossession impacts social determinants of welfare for indigenous people, such as houselessness, education rates, experiences with violence, our MMIR rates, our experiences with poverty. And so this was really personal to me. One of the last times that I was in the archives, Adriana came across a box of extension files. And for those who don't know, the extension is an office that goes out into the community and teaches on behalf of the university. And what we discovered in there was that the extension was involved in relocation processes. And there was 36 families from Boys Fort who were relocated just in this one project. And the names weren't listed, but the year was around the same time that my grandma was relocated. And so that really got me thinking about relocation and the trajectory that my family has been placed on personally, because the university, no university is created to pour into us in the way that it is other groups of people, right? It's very extractive from Indigenous people. We know that Western academia is really not only built off of the profit of Indigenous lands, but also the commodification of Indigenous knowledges. Just some insight into my background. My family struggled a lot with addiction and domestic violence when I was young. And throughout some times of my teenage years, we were homeless. I ended up dropping out of high school. And I didn't start college until my own kids were in elementary school. And so just thinking about work by Indigenous scholars like Randall Aki, who directly draw that correlation of these wellness measures that we use so often in our daily lives. And that really helped me along some of my healing journey from my childhood, because even though it was really difficult to uncover or unwrap, you know, that truth, it's kind of like a wound, right? If you leave it covered too much, you allow it to fester. And so opening up and exposing it to air, exposing it to light, sharing that knowledge really allows for healing to begin. And I was able to see, that the adults in my life when I was a kid were placed in those situations. It wasn't necessarily by their own choice. And so it allowed me, through the help of some of those counseling services that we mentioned earlier, to really unpack some of that stuff that I uncovered in the archives, how it was related to my own community and to the institution that I was a student and that I'm employed at.
Wow. Hey, Misty, can you talk about maybe a little, speak on reconciliation possibilities and how we go about that and how deep that is?
Sure. So we, during our process, we were very intent on hearing from as many people and asking as many people who, you know, what the university should do about, or what yes, what the university should do to repair the harm and repair the relationships. And we got a lot of information, and we were able to kind of summarize that in the different directives at the very end, where we offer recommendations to the Board of Regents and to university leadership. In terms of, I wonder if Anne might say a little bit about the difference between reconciliation and recognition. You notice in our name we use recognition, and actually that choice was made, you know, before I was part of the team. So it'd be great to hear from you.
Yeah, so early on in the project, a task force of faculty members from American Indian Studies at the various campuses was put together by President Joan Gable. And during the first meeting of that committee, the decision was made that this wasn't going to be just another reconciliation process, right? So often, these research projects go on as like a spectacle almost, and they depend upon the empathy of folks, non-Indigenous folks in places of power, to decide whether they're going to, you know, act upon the whatever, you know, is said during those processes. And so we just wanted the university to recognize, you know, the truth and where it came from and how that continues to impact the lives of Indigenous people today inside and outside of the university. And we also understand that some harm is not reconcilable, right? You can't reconcile something that was never there to begin with, and there was never a relationship between the university and tribal nations. So we really wanted to get to a point where we could just come to a place of shared history, of shared truths, and then begin to look at ways that we can heal and what policies and practices can be put into place at the university to make it a little bit better place for Native folks.
Yeah, I'm going to have Zoe has a question. And I just wanted to say that my understanding was that it was kind of a lukewarm response to this when the Truth Project came out. Is that true, Anne, or is that just reporting that I read? How do you feel about their response?
Well, so to go back to the very beginning of the project, right, when Tad Johnson was first hired on as the director of American Indian and Tribal Nations Relations, he was the first ever Native American in senior leadership at the university in 170 years. So, yeah. So now we have Karen Diver also. So there's been two, right? In 172 years, there's been two Native Americans in senior leadership. So without that representation, there has been, you know, nobody voicing that there's policies that are harming folks today. And so Tad really began this project, and this was a relationship that he built with the tribes, with the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, and wanted this to be a tribally led, community-based project where Indigenous voices would be uplifted above those of the university for the first time ever. And we tried to get funding from a few different foundations, and we heard the same thing over and over again. If the university was really serious about change, why aren't they putting their resources behind this project? Wow. We think you're presenting a really great proposal. This sounds like a really great project. But if the university were putting in some, then maybe we could support you. And unfortunately, every time we went to the university to ask for funding for the Truth Project, leadership at that time did not deem this to be important enough to fund.
Wow. Your response, Adriana, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to take a moment to talk a little bit more about some of those things that are irreconcilable. So one of the tribal research reports done by Leech Lake, Lori Harper. She talked about the impacts that the dams had on food systems and gathering wild rice. And the Army Corps of Engineers was conducting their research at the St. Anthony Falls Library. And so that's where the connection with the University of Minnesota comes in, is that they were helping to map where to place these dams. And now today, there's certain areas and certain places where we can't harvest Manoomin anymore. And one of the other findings that we had found was that the United Nations has different criteria that need to be met to meet genocide. And throughout time and throughout the past seven generations, all of those different pieces of genocide are met and are documented in some way through the Truth Report. I also wanted to take a moment to talk a little bit about how this violence throughout time impacts us today. So today in the Seven County Metro, 64.9% of 211 families that were interviewed are a part of a longitudinal study are experiencing poverty. 46% of families are experiencing food insecurity. And so when we start to really get into the statistics and start to look at the impacts today, it's really sad. You know, almost 70% of Native American people that are living here in the metro experiencing poverty. That's a crisis. That's a human rights crisis. And the University of Minnesota is really at the center of that, of all that has been taken from our people and all that continues to be taken. And we know how sad it is here. And it's just astounding that you can walk three blocks in the metro area and go from, you know, $1 million buildings to houseless relatives. And again, just wanting to emphasize, you know, that this is a human rights crisis that we're experiencing.
Wow. And I appreciate that, because when we had the Wall of Forgotten Natives, you could look to your right and see a $1 billion football stadium that they play 8 games at a year. Wow. Well, we have to come back. We have to take a short break, but very powerful stuff, and I am so grateful to have you three on. We'll be right back. We're talking about the Truth Project and the University of Minnesota specifically. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
A lot has changed since 2020. Metro Transit wants to hear from you to help build a network that best serves the Metro's needs for the next 5 years. Help us grow the right way as more resources, like more drivers, become available. Learn more, fill out an online survey, and find out about upcoming meetings in your neighborhood at metrotransit.org/network-now. metrotransit.org/network-now.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Maybe you can do that one more time and have our guest join in. Ho-wa. All right. Maybe not. This is a serious show. This is a serious show today, Zoe. So, Zoe, why don't you jump in and wrangle us out here this last 9 minutes?
Yeah, so for our last segment, I just wanted to kind of ask you all about what comes next for this project and also what comes next for each of you individually, because you all have your own careers, and I'd really love to hear about what it is that you plan to do after this. Maybe hey, we Misty. Can start with Misty. There you go.
Yeah, sounds great. So for this project specifically, we will be presenting at American Indian Day on the Hill on May 10th in Minnesota's capital, St. Paul. We want to continue bringing attention to this issue and to the findings that we have. And I guess for me, at least, it's awaiting the response from the Board of Regents, from university leadership, to see what they commit to doing about this issue. For me personally, I work as an evaluation project manager at Grassroots Solutions, which is a strategy and evaluation firm headquartered here in Minneapolis, but it's nationwide, and will continue to provide strategic directions to organizations that want our support.
And how about Adriana? And could you answer the same question, please?
Yeah, I'll kind of do it in a roundabout way, I guess. I kind of want to tie it back now again to the beginning of the conversation when we were talking about that trauma piece. What we also experienced throughout the project was a lot of hope. Hope that the institution can change. Hope that our people can heal from this trauma. Hope that we can continue to collaborate with one another. Hope that this research project and what we were able to accomplish can be recreated in other places. A hope that this can be a model for future research projects. And it also kind of came to me a couple weeks ago that, you know, throughout this process and throughout all of this, you know, we're reimagining what that next seven generations has to look forward to. And, you know, all of the work that we're doing today is healing the future generations. You know, this truth-telling process, it needs to happen, you know, through our discussions with our spiritual advisors and through some, you know, inspiration from Misty, is that this research and this truth-telling process, you know, the land wants these stories to be told, and it wants this circle to close so a new circle can be formed. And I guess for me, you know, I've really been focusing on that dream part of it. I really do believe that this research and what we were able to accomplish is larger than the University of Minnesota. I do see some opportunity to change some of the policies, both within the University of Minnesota and through the state of Minnesota. I see opportunities as well at the federal level to provide funding to conduct this research. I see so many opportunities from this truth-telling process. And I just have hope for our people and for our communities. And I know that for all of us and Misty and I, that, you know, we do this from our hearts and for that love that we have for our people and for our communities. And it just always feels a little different, feels more meaningful when, you know, our audience is our people. And when we're able to share space with our people, we haven't been able to interview together, but, you know, we are stronger together. And when we're able to unify our voices, so much change and so much goodness can happen. And so, yeah, the truth, this is just the beginning. This isn't a one and done. It needs to continue to be shared, continue to be told throughout time. There's always more minds that can be educated on this truth. So, Miigwech.
Wow. You know, these are the kind of shows that I get really emotional, and I mean that really seriously. We have three warriors here, and I'll count you too, Zoe, the women are leading the way as usual, and I want to say I appreciate that. Anne, go ahead.
Yeah, Miigwech. So for the project, our funding's been over for a while. However, we're continuing to share our research, share our findings, and really what we've come to call this is a research movement. It's not just research, it's a movement to push for change at the university. So I'll continue to do that. Right now I'm a PhD student in American Studies, and then also working in Native American affairs. So they won't be rid of me for a while. So I'll be there to harass them. I'm sure they'll get sick of me. But yeah, I think I echo so much of what Adriana said. This has been a really emotional journey, but it's also been an honor to be able to work on this project with so many amazing folks, and to have the support of all 11 tribes and the tribal leaders has really, I guess, given us motivation to keep going at times when the project could have just stalled out. So we take that forward, that energy forward, and keep pushing for change with the momentum that we've built up.
Wow. Misty, we only got a couple minutes left here, but you must be super proud of this team and yourself. I am just flabbergasted. I'm talking old. I'm a junior elder here. I'm talking to old person talk here, but I am flabbergasted on the tenacity that these young warriors have that you've picked out, Misty. You must be super proud of this whole thing and project and these people.
Yeah, it was really beautiful the way that we all came together. And I think that very proud that we were able to do this work, and it was a labor of love. Love for, I think, our people, this land. And I think it was lovely to be able to also do it together with the tribes and have so many voices centered and a part of this with us. So Miigwech to my team members, but also to you for having us.
Wow. And we really appreciate it. And where can people find and read this report, Misty, before we end the show? Because I'm sure people really want to read it all over Turtle Island.
Yeah. So it's actually on MIAC's website. So if you Google MIAC, Minnesota, it has its own page underneath our website, and you can download the full report with all the appendices, all 554 pages, if you want it, or you can download the executive summary and other materials.
Well, Anne, Adriana, Misty, Pinigigi for being on. This was an unbelievable show and emotional for me to hear the great work that you guys are doing. And our future looks bright. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Has your affordable care plan gotten too expensive? then Jonathan Masterson from Healthcare Solutions Team will help save you money on insurance with a plan you can change at any time to fit your budget for individual, family, or small business. Getting started with a quote is fast, easy, and takes less than 5 minutes. Call Jonathan Masterson from Healthcare Solutions Team, 779-302-8363. 779-302-8363. Call today.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.